from the On Basketball Podcast, the Pick and Troll Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. Jumping James Herbs, friend of the feline. How's it going?
What's happening?
It's contract extension season.
Yes.
Which you know what that means.
It means Meta World Peace might be back in the NBA?
Sure.
Wait, that's totally irrelevant to what you just said.
Well, I mean, it's extending his career with a contract.
That's true.
Maybe this is rude of me, and, you know, I've been accused of being rude before.
Why you gotta be... No. Not saying that.
I'm not into calling him Meta World Peace.
And do you prefer the Pandas friend?
No, definitely not. He's still Ron Artest to me. And maybe that's rude. I don't mean it to be rude. I just think, like, if we...
The man changed his name. Like, it's legally changed.
Sure. I mean,
Will you acknowledge Willie Trill Cauley Stein?
Not really. I mean, it's kind of fun, but I'm not going to write it.
I wrote it.
I don't know. Like, I don't even like putting the new apostrophe in Amari's name.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that fight is over. Like, you've lost that war.
Here's the thing. Like, if this was, like, a religious thing, I'd be all about. Like, when Olivier Saint-Jean went to Tariq Abdul-Wahad, like, I was fine with that. Like, that's a religious thing. I get that. Meta World Peace,
is this to say this isn't a religious thing?
Well, I think he would have said by now.
Well, I mean, maybe world peace is his religion.
It just seems like an attention grab.
But no, he would never.
That's
not his style at all.
And as someone who works on the internet, I'm not a fan of attention grabs.
No, of course not.
No. So I don't know. All right, I guess I'll call him Meta.
I'm hoping he like. Do you think you're allowed to wear panda shoes in the NBA?
I don't even know what that means.
Well, he wore shoes with. Well, I mean, first of all, last year he wore like quote unquote panda shoes, but they were actually polar bears. Like, on his shoes.
Okay.
There's, like, a head of a polar bear on the tip of his shoe. But then they fixed it, and then they actually looked like pandas. But at first, it looked like a polar bear, and that just didn't make sense, because it had, like, the panda's friend on his jersey.
Sure.
But then there was polar bear on his shoes. But I'm just wondering if that's going to be allowed in the NBA, if he wanted to wear those shoes. I'm just throwing that question out there. I don't know if you can answer it.
I did like the All-Star game where he was wearing different shoes all the time.
Yeah, he kept changing
them. I wouldn't mind that. I wouldn't mind if he was just, like, trying to get another contract, shoe contract with somebody by just throwing different shoes on, even after every made basket.
Yeah, I mean, maybe one has a polar bear, one has a panda. Like, anything's possible.
Yeah, anything. Any kind of animal could be on there.
Yeah.
So that's good. Is it news because it's him, or is it news because it's a good signing? If the Lakers are interested?
Yeah.
I
think it's news because it's him and it's the Lakers.
Sure.
And that would just... I mean, this is already, like, a really weird Lakers team. And I think just inserting him into that mix has, like, the potential for lots of hilarity.
I'm trying to think, like... I mean, they're talking about playing Kobe Bryant at the 3, right?
Mm-hmm.
So who's he...
So he would play the 4.
But they already have, like, Randall and Bass and Larry Nance and Ryan Kelly and...
Yeah. But I don't think he would play much 3.
Right.
He'd play a little bit of 3.
I guess I just don't see the point of him being on this team.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really see the point of this team, you know?
Like, sure. So. Like, he just wasn't... He wasn't very good on the Knicks 2 years ago.
No, and he was hurt through a lot of that.
Yeah, and so just, like, is he going to be healthy enough to do anything? Even if, like, he just shot horribly. He was under 40% from the field. He was 31% from 3. He can only play 13 minutes a game.
On the plus side, like, they really need defenders. Like,
well, that's certainly true.
They don't really have any of them.
They don't have... Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, you could play him as a stretch 4. He's not that stretchy, but...
Yeah,
I don't know. Well, I mean, he's
more stretchy than, like, Brandon Bass.
Yeah, he's a career 34% three-point shooter. That was not really evident 2 of the last 3 years he played, but whatever. I guess
maybe he
can regain that shot.
I think it would just be funny. I just like to see him interact with Byron Scott and to see the young guys try to figure him out.
Like, I think he and Byron would get along great.
I think so. I think his shot selection might be funny. But we'll see. I don't know. I kind of miss him. Like, I just like him back in the NBA, whether it's the Lakers or anywhere else. Like,
I wouldn't mind him as like a commentator.
Oh my god, that would be insane.
Yeah. Like, well,
and he would have actual insight too. Like, whenever he talks about basketball, and he feels like really getting into it. Like, obviously, he's a really smart guy.
He's crazy smart, especially when it comes to basketball. Like, that's the thing. He's an interesting guy.
But the thing is, he could just like there'd be no predicting what he would do or say.
Yeah, I don't understand the problem. Throw him on Bill Simmons' HBO team or whatever they're gonna do.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah, let's do that.
Deal. But I'm into that. I'd still like him to play during the regular season and then spend his off seasons with Simmons.
Sure.
Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay.
I mean, we figured it out. We know the season's gonna end in April for him, so
if he goes to the Lakers.
Right. That could be he could be part of the playoff coverage. Speaking of reconnecting with a home of sorts, which I guess
sounds good.
Ron would do.
Yeah.
Nick Young wants to be a Boomer.
Lots of Laker news.
Very little of it related to basketball in the NBA, but...
No, but that's fine. It's August. Yeah. He wants to play for Australia.
Which, why not?
Yeah.
Well, other than him not being a citizen.
Yeah, but I mean, he's about to marry an Australian.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how difficult it is to get Australian citizenship after that.
My sister has a family with Australians. So
does she play for the national team?
No, she's not all that coordinated. But but she, I've seen it done before.
Okay, yeah, so it could happen again.
So he could become, a dual citizenship guy and really get this thing going. I mean, it's not like he's ever going to make Team USA.
Hey, don't put limitations on Nick.
So if he, I wonder if would some people call this like turning on his country?
I mean, maybe very silly people would call it that.
Yeah, I mean, we even get mad at Bo McCaleb, right?
No, I mean Jerome Randall's playing for the Ukraine.
Right. I mean that's just because they won the Jerome Randall lottery.
Yeah, which was a very highly competitive thing. But no, like, if he wants to play for Australia, I'm just thinking, like, you got Bogey, you got Delly, you got Swaggy. They could use a gunner on that team, in my opinion. So I think it should happen. I'm not sure. Andrew Bogut tweeted that Iggy Azalea could rap the Australian anthem. I'm not sure that I'm down with that.
I don't know about that.
Don't think that anthem is, like, suited to be rapped.
This is...
No offense to Iggy.
Iggy. This is interesting. Like, Australia would become a top 10 country in terms of basketball. They're 11th right now in FIBA rankings.
Yeah, so if you get Swaggy P, you have to bump up like 5 or 6 spots automatically, so right? Like, that's how it works.
Do they jump Greece? Greece is kind of...
Do they jump USA?
Well,
Does this make them the favorites?
James, we have to talk about the build-up here. Like, we've got to... I'm working towards something.
Okay.
Greece is 10th. Australia is 11th.
Okay.
Do they jump Greece? Greece is kind of struggling.
Yeah.
Although,
maybe.
If Giannis becomes half the player the internet thinks he is, like, that could
Giannis
really boost them.
Well, Giannis is hitting threes now. That form is looking a lot better.
Is he hitting threes, or did he hit a three?
He hit, like, three of them. And okay. The stroke looked really
good. From the FIBA line?
Sure.
Okay. Just making sure. I saw Michael Jordan hit a couple of FIBA threes.
Me too.
Yeah.
And he's, like maybe the greatest player ever. Sure. So Giannis is on the right track. I think with Ben Simmons is who he's cracked up to be, which I think he is.
Yeah, he'll probably be good.
Then that Australian team, especially with Swaggy P, I mean, they might be unstoppable. I don't know.
And maybe he's good, like, insurance for if Dante isn't, I can't imagine Dante's going to be allowed to play in the Olympics, right?
I mean, maybe. Like I
a year of well I guess like he can when did he tore it like a couple weeks ago
yeah
so maybe he's
maybe they use that like Derrick Rose used
to yeah maybe year. He's available Marchish
yeah but I do think that I could definitely foresee him sitting out too
yeah but so you'd have like you got Delly you've got Bogut you've got Joe Ingles Ben Simmons will play by then right in 2016 and then you've got Swaggy. That's not a bad group. They don't have a ton of depth, but that's not a bad group.
They got some backups.
Aaron Baines plays for them,
Nate
right?
Nate Jawai is still around.
Yeah.
Isn't Baines Kiwi?
I think he played for Australia, though.
Okay.
He's one of those...
if you say so.
He's one of those guys where they're kind of both, but most of the Kiwi-Australian splits...
Oh, no, he's Australian.
...end up going Australia. Well, I think he is. I think he technically is, like, half Kiwi.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah, he was born in New Zealand, but he is Australian.
Yeah. I think they kind of just figure out, like, hey, what... Like, am I going to play rugby? No? All right, then I'm Australian.
Or Australian was football.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is much different.
Much different.
Yeah.
I don't like either of them, for the record.
Ooh, I actually have become quite a fan.
Really?
Yeah. I became a fan of... I mean, I'm not, like, watching every week, but, like, when I catch a match, I'll definitely watch it.
Do you like saying match?
I don't like saying match. I gotta be honest. Like, I really hate saying the word that match instead of game. But when I catch a match, like, if I see a match is on, I'll watch.
When you catch a match.
When I catch a match,
when
I'll
you
watch.
Match a catch.
I'll watch some AFL.
Okay.
I really I picked up on the rules, and so I understand what's going on. And then rugby league is different than rugby. Rugby league is like a quicker, higher scoring version of rugby. I think there are fewer players on the field, but I could be wrong about that. One of them has fewer players, I think. They also may have the same number of players. I'm not quite sure. But I do know that I've watched rugby. I do know that I've watched rugby league, and I've watched rugby, and I took to rugby league much more.
Okay.
Yeah. That's also a very important distinction when we're talking about, and you know how much we talk about the 49ers on this podcast. When we talk about hopeful 49er Jared Hayne, who left of being, I think, the best rugby league player in the world to go play NFL football. Mm-hmm. He left rugby league. He didn't leave rugby. So that's an important distinction.
That's really good to know. I thought Bogut was tweeting about him.
Right.
Yeah.
He's actually pretty good. So Australia with Nick Young. I think they jump Greece. Although I don't know too much about the youth movement of Greece other than Giannis.
Mm-hmm. Well, Giannis is enough.
Sure. Do they jump Brazil?
And there are other Antetokounmpos as well that will be in the national program.
Right, yeah. There's a slew of them. There's like three or four, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Do they jump Brazil?
Well, there are two younger ones, and then obviously Thanasis is the older brother.
Yeah, he's not very good, though.
He's all right.
Yeah, he's not very good. He can block shots. That's about it.
He can dunk.
Sure. Brazil
are awesome.
Brazil doesn't have much of a youth movement, do they?
Well, they have Bruno and Bebe. And they have a couple other guys.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess they'll probably go. I think this Turkey team's done. Enes Kanter's their future. They're done with that.
Speaking of Enes Kanter. He got a big contract.
He did. We talked about it yesterday on the podcast.
I'm trying to get us into the contract extensions.
Okay. Well, we are going to talk contract extensions. I guess we're done with Nick Young.
Yeah.
So far we have three contract extensions, correct? We have for the 2012 draft class.
We have Valanciunas.
I guess Valanciunas was technically a rookie, yeah, for the 2012 rookie class.
Yeah.
So we have four. So we have Anthony Davis, 5 years, $145 million.
Mm-hmm. Just all the money.
All the money. Damian Lillard, 4 years, $120 million.
Yeah, most of the money.
Jonas, still quite a bit of the money. Jonas Valanciunas was, what, 464?
Yeah.
And now MKG, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, signed an extension with the Hornets last night. 4 years, $52 million reported. First, let's talk about that deal. What a hell of a deal for the Hornets.
Yeah, I love it for them.
He may be one of the four or five best players, or one of the four or five best defenders in the league.
Yeah, I mean, he's an incredible defensive talent.
Yeah, I mean, I think people, not a lot of people pay attention to the Hornets, and especially last season, why would you? But this is a guy who can defend 1 through 4.
And if he was as good offensively as he is defense, if it was, like, flipped, then I think you'd be talking about him as one of the best young players in the game.
Yeah.
But it's just not as exciting what he does, even though I think it's pretty exciting, like, the way that he moves and the way he gets out in transition and his instincts and all that. I mean, there's a reason why he was the number 2 pick. I mean, he's basically exactly what he was cracked up to be coming out of school. And obviously last year you saw the progress with the jumper. It just looked a lot better.
Right.
And now, I mean, they're making this investment hoping that he's going to keep getting better with that, even though Mark Price is gone. And I think he's going the right direction there. But even if he doesn't get that much better as a shooter, like, he's a freaking awesome defender. And he's the sort of guy that you want on your team. Like, it just seems like a bargain, just considering what the new cap is going to look like.
Right. Players shot 43% against him last year, which is not very good.
No.
43% overall. I mean, even around, like, usually with these numbers, you get high numbers less than 6 feet. Less than 10 feet are, you know, a little bit lower, and then greater than 15 feet are considerably lower. But with him, like, less than 6 feet, like, he only gave up 50% from the field, which is really good.
Mm.
Like, really, really good. He's a guy who's not going to get blocks. He's not going to get steals. He just makes everyone work tirelessly to get shots off, and they're usually bad shots. He closes out really well. He can recover on and help defense to guarding a primary play. Like, he just can do everything defensively. And so
he really cares about doing every little thing, like just bumping guys.
Yeah.
Fighting through screens and going for rebounds. And then when he's not going for rebounds, just like getting the hell out there in transition and getting easy buckets. Like, he just never stopped moving.
Yeah. And even if all you're getting out of him is the defensive end, I think that's pretty close to the money he's getting, especially with the new cap, because that defense is all-world defense. And so yeah. Then you can
he's
get
an actual stopper. There are, like, so few of them anymore.
Right, yeah. Like, I would dare to say he's even, like, he's near that Kawhi level in terms of defensive ability.
He plays in Charlotte.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't play in the bright lights of San Antonio.
People have been making fun of his highlights of San Antonio. But people have been making fun of his jumper for so long that, like, that's the way people talk about him a lot of the time.
Right, and I do think, like, I noticed last night, like, a lot of Hornets supporters or Hornets writers were basically saying, like, oh, if you don't think his jumper's improved now, like, his mid-range jumper's so good, blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't think that's wrong, necessarily. His jumper is clearly improved, and it's improved.
Just the form is so much better.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, mid-range, he's, you know, over 40% from the field or whatever he is. Like, you know, we need to be like realistic about this. Of like, he's hitting all open shots in this, which good. Like, that's kind of what he's supposed to do, right?
Yeah.
You get an open shot, you knock it down. It's still not to the point where he's like a weapon. He's just not a. He's not a disaster shooting the ball anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't take shots he shouldn't shoot. Like, he didn't take a single three-pointer last year in 55 games, which is both good and bad. Like, I don't mind guys who don't shoot it when they know they can't shoot it. But I do think, like, as we've seen in this evolving three-point era, like, he's going to have to be able to at least be even a marginal threat at some point, right? Like, you can't,
yeah.
Unless he's going to end up being a four, which I guess he could do. Like, he's, what, 6'7"?
I mean, he plays some four.
Yeah, like, but if that's going to be exclusively his position, then you can, you know, moving forward, you can get by without him taking threes. But even then, like, you want a little bit more offensive ability than he can do, but he's a really good rebounder for his position. He's a really good slasher. He shoots a good percentage. He shoots 46% from the field.
He's 21!
Sure, yeah.
He's 21 years old.
Yeah, like, I think that there's, you know, a little bit overblown with the offensive improvements he's made, but they're not as overblown as his offensive deficiencies. Like, there's kind of this middle area, right?
Yeah, but I also think the big thing for him last year was just having the confidence to shoot at all, because he was scared to before.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
And that was a big step, because, I mean, in high school, this was a player that, I mean, he scored a lot. And his jumper was still wacky then, but at least he shot it. And he was always so much more athletic than everybody. And he's good at other stuff offensively. Like, he's a smart passer, and he's a good cutter. And, you know, if he ever gets just a little bit more consistent, like, if he can just, I don't know if he's going to be a 35% three-point shooter ever, but if he's like a 30% three-point shooter, and if he actually makes guys close out on him at all, then he's suddenly this really dangerous weapon, because it's not like he can't put the ball on the floor at all. It's not like he can't pass.
Right.
It's just his game has never, like, the players always say, oh, your game opens up so much with your jumper. Like, he's just never had that.
Right, exactly.
So I think if actually given the move, I mean, the room to, like, make moves and make plays, then he could be a good offensive player. But, yeah, I mean, to expect that he's going to make as big of a jump next year as he did this year, I don't know. We're going to have to wait and see. But I think regardless of that, to lock up a guy this young for 4 years and to give him that money, I just think it's a really smart move. And I think if MKG had just waited, he'd almost surely get more money next summer. But he just probably wanted the security, because most guys do.
Yeah, absolutely, which I think it's a smart deal for both sides. And the thing about these contracts, like, a guy will get a big extension, a guy will sign a new deal, and you're like, oh, that's too much money for him initially. But I think you have to remember, like, the idea is for him to play into the contract and become more valuable than the contract is.
Which, like, so many guys do.
Right, like, we always look at it as the initial number of, like, $13 million a year. That guy's not worth $13 million a year. It's like, no, he might not be right now, but 2 years from now, this deal could look like a joke.
Yeah.
You know, like,
And that's often the case with guys that are his age or even a little bit older that get this specific, like, the rookie extension.
Right. Right, yeah, especially the rookie extension. And it just, I don't know, like, I think it's a great deal. I think most people thought it was a great deal. I think for people who aren't very familiar with his game, you wonder, well, this guy can't do anything offensively. Why would you give him this money? One, it's not that much money anymore. starting next summer, it's not that much money. And two, like, I think he's worth the money they're giving him anyway. Or he's very close awesome. And will play into that.
Yeah, plus, the way that, I mean, it's very obvious what Charlotte did this summer. We've talked about it before. Like, they're trying to get as many shooters as possible because they kind of know, like, we have Kemba Walker at the point and MKG at the three, and that's going to be the case for a long time. So every move that they're making is trying to get shooting around them, and that makes a lot of sense to me. We'll see if they've actually done enough that they're going to have a halfway decent offense this year. I don't know. But clearly he's one of the cornerstones of the team, and even though he hasn't made this huge impact on the NBA, I don't think it'd be fair to say that he's been disappointing. I think he's been pretty much what he was supposed to be coming out of college.
Yeah, I agree with that. Well, I don't know. I think he was supposed to be more coming out of college. I do think there's some legitimate criticism in that. I just don't think it's such a huge gap that you start worrying about it.
I think he was supposed to be an awesome defender, and he's one of the better ring defenders in the whole league. So.
Well, I don't know. Like, maybe I'm misremembering this, and that's very possible, but I kind of feel like there were, like, these Andre Iguodala comparisons.
Yeah. I mean, kind of. But he was never the playmaker that Iguodala was. Like,
well, right.
Either.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he could get there eventually, but I think that's going to be a long process if he does. Like,
yeah.
He's still 21, and who knows what his game's going to look like at 26, 27.
Right.
I think
I'm talking about, like, coming out of college. I think the expectations were much higher, but I don't think he's wildly underperformed.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. So next on the list, I kind of want to go through this 2012 draft class and just see, you know, who may get an extension, who definitely will not get an extension.
Yeah.
So the third pick of that class, we've got the first two locked up. Third pick was Bradley Beal.
Mm.
And this will really be the interesting one of, like, kind of setting the market for this draft class, either if he gets an extension this fall or if he waits until restricted free agency next summer. But there were three guys other than Bradley Beal who averaged 15 points, 3.5 rebounds, and 3 assists last year while shooting 40% from 3-point range. Steph Curry, Blake Griffin, Kevin Durant. And then Bradley Beal was the fourth guy. And not to say, like, he belongs in that group with those guys, but he is kind of he's a rarity in that he's a shooting guard, which that's not a very deep position anymore.
No.
He's a shooting guard who can do a little bit of everything. He's a very good shooter. You know, he's kind of maybe the next really good shooting. Like, I don't know. You know, I kind of think, like, maybe if he can remain healthy, which has also been a question for him, you know, does he become what Eric Gordon was supposed to remain? Even though the injury stripped him of a lot of his production?
Yeah, you know, kind of, except getting... I don't think he needs the ball as much as...
Horford. Yeah, you know, I don't think he does either, and good thing because he plays with John Wall, who should have the ball in his hands at all times, but like...
I mean, they just complement each other so well.
Yeah, like, just a really good pairing moving forward. They, you know, John Wall's locked in, what did he get, like 5 years, $85 million a couple years ago, so that ends up being a fantastic contract.
The one that he complained about Reggie Jackson getting this
year. So now if you, you know, what do you lock Bradley Beal up at? You know, we don't have to come up with the exact figures, but, you know, are you paying...
I just, if he was up for this last summer, he would have got the max.
Yeah, which was, no, what, 464 or something like that?
Yeah, like the Gordon Hayward deal.
Yeah.
And now it's like the max is just so much higher. But, I mean, if I'm his agent, like I'm asking for something in that range just because there aren't that many good shooting guards. And I this is a guy...
If I'm his agent, I'm saying we need the max.
Yeah. Like that's... I think he's good enough that you can demand that.
Yeah.
He's really young. He's, I mean, everybody raves about his work ethic and just his attitude and how he approaches the game. And I think he fits in really well with that culture, with that locker room, with Wall. And you've also seen him, like, rise to the occasion. Like, this is, we've seen him in the playoffs 2 years in a row come out and play better than he did in the regular season and have these huge games. And I think that matters. And I think... this is the sort of guy that you want to invest in, and I think if they don't offer the max, then there's absolutely no reason for him to sign an extension now.
Right, and then you just go into restricted free agency.
Yeah.
And go get yourself a max offer.
Someone will get, yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, I think that, you know, and especially with what the new numbers will be, like, people will freak out at a max deal for him because it'll be, hey, this guy averages 15 points a game. Are you giving, you know, whatever. But... I think he'll prove to be good enough as long as he's healthy. And I think that health is a huge concern. Like
there's always something with him.
Yeah, he missed a lot of games his rookie year. And I think he missed a lot of games with the same type of injury his third year.
Yeah.
Second year, he played 73 games. So, you know, missed nine. That's not horrible. But still not, you know, three non-healthy years, relatively. Like, that's a little bit of a tricky situation, but I don't think it's so bad that... unless they know something about his medical records that we don't, which is very possible. I don't think we've looked at him. But, if he knows something, you know, if they know something bad, maybe that would be the only thing keeping him from getting that money.
Yeah, but I think you kind of have to do it anyway, just because on the open market, like, someone will give it to him.
Right.
I mean, what, he shot, like, 41% on his threes?
Yeah, he's ridiculous.
Like, on a different team, he's averaging 20 points a game. It's just he didn't get enough touches necessarily to do that, and I think sometimes during the regular season he wasn't being put in the best position to succeed, but I think, and we talked about this last time, just the style that they're going to play, if they're actually going to push the ball and run and spread the floor, that will only benefit him.
Yeah, absolutely. As long as he's healthy, you know, could be, I don't know, I guess he'd battle with Klay Thompson pretty soon for, like, second best shooting guard, because I think we assume James Harden's going to be the best for quite a while.
Yeah, I mean, who else? There's, like, DeRozan. Like, I don't know. There's not, like, a long list of good shooting guards in
right.
the NBA.
Right, yeah. I mean, you and I differ on DeRozan, but, like, to me, the fact that DeRozan's high up the list kind of says it all.
Yeah, I mean, he's, again, like, we can, we'll do a Raptors offseason report at some point, like, I mean, he's still never been a consistent three-point shooter, and he's a shooting guard, so
right.
That's kind of, I mean, if he ever changes that, which he's working on, then maybe he's back in this discussion. But yeah, like, I think Beal, like, right now is a 41% three-point shooter, and
that's
the fact
bad.
That he can do stuff with the ball as well, the fact that he's not a bad defender, and he also just... has this kind of well-earned reputation of being a high-character guy, as cliche as that is. I think all of that really matters, and that's why he's going to get all of the money.
Speaking of the best shooting guards in the league, that takes us to the fourth pick, Dion Waiters.
Stop that.
I forgot to tell you, I've been drinking a lot during this podcast. no way he gets an extension, and should not.
Absolutely not.
Right.
I mean,
well, the Thunder did just give $70 million to Enes Kanter.
They did that, and that was weird.
What number is there a number you would like if they
no
if Waiters said I'll take a 4-year, $30 million extension.
I don't think so. I mean, I can see them doing it because that in the new salary cap is really not much.
Yeah.
But I think this year is more about just figuring out if he actually fits with this team at all. Because, for a player that needs the ball that much, I mean, he literally would be, waving his arms calling for the ball when LeBron had it and when Westbrook had it.
Right.
Like, this is just, I love it.
I like the confidence.
It's endlessly amusing to me. He's one of my favorite players to watch because this is just how he thinks and how he plays. But if we're talking from, a front office perspective, should they extend him? No, they shouldn't. They obviously shouldn't. They need to see if he can even, function on a team that has Durant and Westbrook healthy, and, they're going to try to get Cantor the ball, and Serge Ibaka will get his pick-and-pop opportunities. There are a lot of guys on this team that need shots, and, this is Dion Waiters. So, we'll see.
Oddly enough, he really needs to be Cleveland J.R. Smith moving forward for this team.
Just launching threes?
But, accurately launching threes. J.R. was really accurate during the regular season once he went to Cleveland.
I just don't think that that's his game.
He's not that good of a shooter.
He wants to be a pick-and-roll guy. Right. That's just what he wants to be.
He's
been his whole life.
He's a career 32% shooter from three-point range. He's not a good shooter, but that's what he needs to be. Fifth pick, Thomas Robinson. Not a thing because he's been waived and released a couple of times, I think. So he is not eligible. But good luck to him on the Nets. Actually, maybe Lionel Hollins can be pretty good for him. Sixth pick is already done. I think I said 4 years, 120 for Damian Lillard, but I meant 5 years, 120 for Damian Lillard earlier. This takes us to the seventh pick, Harrison Barnes, which. This is one that I just don't know. I don't know what you do because I don't know what his value is going to be. You know, Iguodala will have to transition his way out at some point. You hope Harrison Barnes can kind of take over that role, but they've got Draymond Green, so they don't really need Harrison Barnes to be a key figure, but he's still pretty important to them. I don't know how you determine his value. I don't think he gets a contract extension because...
No.
I don't know how either side... there has to be... I'm just assuming there's this huge gulf between what Harrison Barnes and his agent think he should get and what the Warriors want to, feel comfortable giving him.
Yeah, and also... this is... he was a number one ranked player in high school, and he was... I think he, at one point, wanted to be a star, and I don't know if he's still... if he still wants that or if he just wants to be a glue guy. Because if he signs long-term with this team, he's also essentially... the great part is he's locking himself in to compete for championships, but he's also locking himself in to be a glue guy for the foreseeable future.
Right.
And, he had a really good playoffs last season. I thought the defense that he played at the four spot was huge, and that kind of probably raised his value around the league. But I'm not sure if people see him as an offensive... as a huge offensive threat, he once was supposed to be. We see these videos of him working out with Jerry West and taking all these mid-range shots and doing stuff with the ball. And part of me wonders, is he wanting to be more of a playmaker? And if he is, can he even do that there? Just because why would the Warriors want that from him with the construction of their roster? So I think it would make a lot of sense for him to stay because he gets along with these guys and he fits in really well and he plays an important role for them. But also, if he wanted to go somewhere where he'd get more shots and more responsibility, that wouldn't shock me either.
It also wouldn't shock me if the Warriors transitioned to giving him more responsibility. I don't think this is the player he is at all. I think he can be much more. He sacrifices a lot just to fit in with the team culture, and hey, it worked out. They won a championship. But there will have to be a decision at some point. I think he's probably one of those guys, if you're the Warriors, where you just kind of say, go get a deal in restricted free agency, we'll see if we want to match it. Like go play your ass off, let's see what you can do, and then we'll see what the market is for you. I don't know that you bid against yourself one way or another. If you're either side.
Yeah, I think if you're the Warriors, you try to get him locked up to a cheap deal now.
Oh, absolutely.
I just doubt that he would take it. I think in his mind, he probably thinks he can have a bigger year and build on last year. And then whether he stays there or goes somewhere else, I mean, if he has the sort of year that, like if he can basically do what Draymond did, right? Like, if he can take a big step and prove himself as a really versatile player, and I think he is a really versatile player, then who knows what money he'll get.
Shot 40% from three last year, which was a big jump, and, you know, he's a solid rebounder for his position. He can score a little bit, he can tack off the dribble a little bit. He went from 39% from the field 2 years ago to 48% from the field last year.
Yeah, I mean, he was just doing all sorts of stuff he, like, shouldn't be doing 2 years ago. Like, that's... And maybe that was sort of a long-term plan, like, let's just see what he can do in ISO and in the post, and eventually he'll get there. But that wasn't a winning strategy, and that did nothing for his confidence and nothing for his value. And I think last year we saw him play a role where he just fit in so, so, so much better. And he's a really talented player, obviously. He's a hell of an athlete, and he can really shoot the ball. So those guys tend to get a lot of money. It's just we don't know exactly how much in this new salary cap era. Because, I mean, look, like, Damari Carroll gets $60 million. Like, what does Harrison Barnes get? I don't know. Like, I truly don't know.
Right. Yeah, I mean, $60 million may not be that much moving forward to teams. And if he gets a deal like that, like, he'd clearly have to jump on it, I would assume. But who knows? This is an interesting one because there was, like, a murmur that Masai Ujiri was talking with Terrence Ross about a contract extension.
I think Ujiri said, "We've talked."
Okay.
That's like, all he said.
Okay. Matt and I were very confused about that. I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast or just in... our campfire work chat, but that why, like,
no, it's I can't see that happening.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know. You know, he's not Dion Waiters, but he's a guy where I would think, like, if he said I want 4 years, $35 million as an extension, which seems, I guess, kind of low.
It's really low based on, like, what he could be.
Right. But do you trust that he's going... Especially, do you trust on Toronto with, you know, all the guys they have who need shots?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, it's not like it's not like he's a great defender. It's not like he's a playmaker. You know, like, he's a scorer. And he's not really an elite scorer by any means.
Well, it's weird because he's shown the ability to be a good defender. But it's just not consistent.
Right.
And he's shown the ability to be a really good offensive player, too, but it's just his focus comes and goes. And I think a lot was expected of him last year.
Like, he can get crazy hot, right? Like, he had that 50-point game.
Yeah, 51-point game, yeah.
Like, he can get crazy hot, but, you know, Corey Brewer has a 51-point game.
Right. What I do think is, like, coming into last year, he was feeling really good, and the team thought he was going to have this breakout, and it just didn't happen. I think part of the reason maybe why it didn't happen was Lou Williams was coming in, and the second unit just totally revolved around him.
Right.
And that made sense because Lou was playing really well. But I think this year, what it sounds like, unless the Raptors decide to go super small and start DeRozan, Ross, and DeMar Carroll, but I kind of doubt that, what will probably happen is Ross will be that sixth man. And with Vasquez gone and Williams gone, and Corey Joseph isn't exactly like, I'm going to come in and score points, and obviously neither is like Biombo. Like, Ross is kind of going to be that bench scorer, and he'll be asked to take a lot of shots and to actually create off the dribble. And like, he's been supposed to work on his ball handling and stuff. So if he's ready for that, then I think what they've done this offseason is carved out a nice space for him to grow and to try to become the player that they thought he would be, that wasn't quite there last year just because he didn't get the touches, he didn't get the shots.
Yeah.
And I think this is kind of, like, more than anyone that we're talking about here, even more than Waiters, I think this is a make-or-break year for him. Because if he takes advantage of this opportunity, he could get, like, a ton of money.
Yeah, he could...
You don't find athletic guys, like, he seriously has the skill set to, like, he could be a guy that wins a three-point shootout and wins a dunk contest. And, like, that doesn't really happen.
Yeah, I mean, he's skill. Like, it's just weird with him. Like, he's a guy who could really just be one of those change of scenery guys. And not that Toronto's a bad scene for him. It's just like they've got Lowry and DeRozan, and they've got Carroll now. Like,
yeah, no. Who's
deferring to him? You know, and yeah. Your point about the second unit definitely fits, but he's also not really the creator that Lou Williams was, right? No. So that's kind of. You know, he can be that scorer, but he's not. It's not in the same mold. But maybe that's a good thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, well, their goal is to not play like that, right? Like, at least that's what they're saying in the offseason, is that they're not going to be so much of an ISO team.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I mean, obviously, he's the sort of guy that if you're doing draw and kick and he's getting the ball, he can either like hit a three or like drive against a closeout because he's really athletic. His handle needs to get better, but. I still think I thought a couple of years ago he had star potential, and I think he still does. It's just we've seen him like not put it together, and if he's going to put it together, it kind of needs to happen soon.
Yeah,
he's also older than a lot of the guys that we're talking about.
Right. Next guy, number 9 pick, Andre Drummond, max.
This is simple.
Yeah, like this, you give him the max. I get concerns about free throw shooter and all that. You give him the max.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Like, this guy should be. pretty close to a franchise-changing guy. I think he's that good. He is. The way he, like we've talked about it, but the way he performed with four guys, you know, four outside threats on the floor last season, he was like 18 and 16 or something ridiculous like that. Like, I think there are some concerns about what he can do defensively, or what he will do defensively. I think the ability's there. I still think he needs to learn how to be a consistent defensive force.
But I trust Van Gundy to figure that out.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's not like he's had amazing coaching up until this point in his career other than, you know, last year. And who knows how much you could actually get done in 1 year. So I think moving forward, like...
he came in really raw.
Yeah, like, just this dude's an easy max call. Like, give him the money, get out of the way, let him dunk on everybody.
Exactly. No, he's like the next generation's Dwight Howard. Like, that's what he is. And he has Dwight's old coach.
Yeah.
We don't know if, like, Dwight just turned into an absolutely brilliant defender under Van Gundy. But he wasn't that much more than just an athlete and shot blocker when he came in on that end.
Right.
So he learned it. And we don't know if Drummond's going to be able to learn it, but the Pistons should bank on that, and they should do everything in their power to make him into one of the best players in the league because he has the physical profile of that. And he's a hell of a pick and roll player, a finisher, and a shot blocker. And I think you just don't mess around here. Like, you give him the max now, or you give it to him next summer. Either way, you just lock him up for as long as possible.
Agreed. 10th pick, Austin Rivers, not eligible because he's been released. So, right. But he'll get the max at some point from the Clippers.
Absolutely. He's better than James Harden.
This
right?
is actually a really rough stretch after Drummond. The 11th pick, Myers Leonard, actually started to kind of break out a little bit last year. And now he'll be battling. There's a pretty deep front court in Portland that he'll have to battle with.
Plumlee, yeah.
Plumlee, Noah Vonleh.
Ed Davis.
Yeah. Aminu's going to play some four. I feel like we're forgetting somebody.
Maybe.
But, so I don't think, like, I think it would be dumb for him to look for an extension. Because big man, showed he can shoot threes. Like, he should be able to be like one of those sneaky guys on the restricted free agency market.
Yeah, I think so too.
Where he can just go get a big deal, and then I don't think Portland matches, but they also give an offer sheet of $70 million to Enes Kanter. So what do I know? but like, he's a guy where I don't think you'd be wrong to want to extend him. I think he'd be wrong to want that extension unless it was a very generous offer.
Unless it was awesome. Yeah, and I don't think he'll get one. Unless it's a lot of money, because look, he's got a skill set. If you're that athletic and that big and you can shoot threes, that's really rare.
Yeah.
And I think he's also an example of a kind of guy that shows, like, we often give up on guys really quickly. We see somebody that like looks terrible in summer league and whatever, and say like, oh well, they're just never going to be good. And it's like, well, they drafted him because he's this like insane athlete.
Yeah.
And they thought, okay, he'll work hard. And he did, and guess what? Now he's a serviceable rotation guy, and he could be a lot more. And it's already, like, what he's done with his three-point shot, considering he really didn't seem like he had that much touch initially, I think it's like, incredible. because now you actually have to guard him out there, and it looks weird. And I was still laughing when he would shoot his threes like halfway through last season, but he was making them, and he just kept making them.
Yeah, I mean, he's worked on it. It's become a skill set for him. 12th pick, Jeremy Lamb. No reason to give him an extension.
No.
He's not very good.
Well, he's reunited with Kemba now. We'll see.
Yeah, maybe that'll be the difference. He's actually got a pretty big depth chart in Charlotte to fight through.
Yeah, there are a bunch of guys there.
Yeah, they went and got a bunch of wings. So, I've never been big on his game. I've never thought he was all that good. Like, some people really believe in him because he had a really good summer league when he first came out. I think his handle's really sloppy. And I think because of that, he can't get to good shots on the floor.
Yeah, I think there's potential there. I always did. But now it's kind of the same thing as we said with, like, Ross and Waiters. Like, yeah. Well, this is the year where you have to show it because you could blame OKC and say they didn't give him enough chances. Well, he's on another team now, and if he shows something in training camp, if he's really serious, then they have no reason not to give him a chance. I know there's other guys there, but given his contract situation, this year has to be sort of about them figuring out if he can give them anything, and if he's more than what he showed in, like, limited minutes in OKC. Because I think there were stretches with the Thunder where he got some minutes and he shot threes reliably, and you thought, well, he could really be a part of their future, but it just never quite happened.
Right. So next pick, Kendall Marshall, has been waived, so not eligible.
Mm-hmm.
He's somewhere in Milwaukee, hanging out, rehabbing.
Yeah, somebody should give him a contract.
Does he technically have one, or is he done?
Okay. They waived him after he got hurt last year in London. Yeah,
that's right. So Kendall Marshall's out. 14th pick, John Henson. I think if you're the Bucks, you want to lock him up. But I think he'd be pretty foolish to, unless it's a very generous extension, to like not try his hand in the restricted market.
Yeah, but maybe they give him a big offer. I mean, Hammond had a quote the other day where he said, like, these are our six core players.
Yeah.
And Henson was a part of that.
I mean, what would you feel comfortable with, though?
I mean, would you give him Valanciunas money?
No.
So would you give him, like, 50, 55? Like, would you give him as much as MKG got?
Yeah, I mean, I guess 450 is a gamble, but it's not like a crazy gamble, and you usually have to pay for big men. But I don't know.
I think the number's about 60.
He's a guy I really like, but I don't know that he's been consistent enough to feel good about that kind of money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they gave it to him, I wouldn't be like, that's a ridiculous contract. I'd be like, all right, they clearly feel very strongly about him. But, man, I don't know.
And also, as we said, like, that's not that much money in the new CBA. Like,
it's, yeah, that's true.
It's not nothing.
Yeah.
But I could see it. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if they worked something out and if it was a number that had people raise eyebrows at first and say, like, all right, fine, like, $60 million for John Henson. I see what they're thinking.
Yeah, I know there were a bunch of factors in there. He just did not play a lot under Jason Kidd last year.
Yeah.
He played 18 minutes a game.
Yeah, I mean, but they don't have Zaza anymore.
Right.
They have
Greg
Monroe. So
no Larry Sanders. I mean, I know Larry wasn't
Sanders
there.
Isn't going to be there for, like, the entire season. Sanders is not going to be there this time. I think he really fits with what they're trying to do.
Yeah, so, I agree. I'm trying to think of a number where he should feel like, yeah, I can't pass that up, and where they should feel like, yeah, but this is a good deal for us.
Yeah.
But if they really do think, like, he's definitely part of the future of this team, no matter what, I guess 460 is not crazy. It's not safe, but I mean, he can block shots and he can rebound.
Yeah, I guess the question is, if he's going to just play out the year, what do you think he ends up getting next summer?
I mean, I think if he plays out the year and he has a good year, he could get a huge contract because he's a shot blocker who can finish around the rim and who can rebound. Like, that's, those guys get paid.
Yeah, and I mean, that's why
I think he could get 475 or something, or what, something like I don't think that's, if he has a good year, there's going to be so much cap room and there's going to be so many teams that have to show they're using it right away. And the floor is so high, and then even the year after it jumps again,
Yeah.
I think I don't know, 485. Like, I think someone could give John Henson 485, and we'd freak out a little bit, but that probably isn't that crazy if he has a good year.
And that, I totally agree, and that's why I think it could get done now, because I think
maybe.
If you're Henson, there's still some uncertainty, like, how many minutes am I going to get? How am I going to be able to put up big numbers?
Right.
Also, I think it's just easier to come in and focus on only basketball,
yeah,
and know you have long-term security, and I think, like, we could have said the same thing about Valanciunas, that he could have got way more.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people think he could have gotten a lot more.
Yeah, so for those same reasons, I could totally see Henson taking $60 million or so to do it now, or maybe it's even a little less. I don't know, but it wouldn't shock me if he got one. I'm not sure if that's a smart move or not, but that's mainly because we just don't know what the Bucks rotation is going to look like, and it could be another thing where a lot of guys play 24, 25 minutes or something.
Yeah. 15th pick, Maurice Harkless. He's on Portland now, right?
Yeah.
No reason to extend him.
I would be shocked.
Yeah. No real reason there. Like, I think he can end up being a pretty decent role player, but and he's been decent in the past. Like, I just, there's nothing that says, like, you have to worry about him in restricted free agency.
No. And I liked them getting him. I think they made a lot of nice little moves to get guys that can still get better. So I dig that. I think with all of these guys, it's more about, like, let's see what we have.
Yeah. Royce White was the 16th pick. Not eligible for an extension.
Daryl Morey said maybe the worst draft pick ever.
Yeah. Not great. There are a lot of weird stories about that whole situation. 17th pick, Tyler Zeller.
No, tell me all the weird stories, Zach.
I don't know that I can share them all on here.
All of them.
Publicly. 17th pick, Tyler Zeller. I actually, like, this guy could clean up in restricted free agency.
Yeah.
I thought he was great last year for the Celtics. I think he's behind, in terms of production, he'll be behind Amir Johnson and David Lee. But I think he's a very good third big man to have moving forward. Like, I'd rather
like him more than David Lee at this point.
Well, I mean, David Lee's way better than him.
You think?
Yeah. David Lee was an all-star 2 years ago.
Was it 2 years ago?
2013. I'm almost positive about that.
It feels like it was more than 2 years ago. I don't know. Look, I'm not that down on David Lee, but, like, I think Zeller, he's just such a good finisher. Like, he's just, at his age, I think he's a guy that could get a really big contract. I'm not sure.
I agree. You know, I still don't think he's not David Lee.
Okay.
I don't think David Lee's necessarily the all-star he used to be in 2013, but I also, like,
he's obviously a much better defender than David Lee.
Sure, but David Lee is a better rebounder and a better scorer.
He's a better passer.
Better passer is
necessarily a better scorer.
He's absolutely a better scorer.
He's a better scorer if you're, like, ISOing, but I like.
He's a better scorer if you're playing basketball. Like, he's a better scorer.
I don't know. I'm a Zeller fan.
I'm a Zeller fan, but this is ridiculous. Like, we've turned David Lee into, like, Mark Madsen all of a sudden. Like,
no,
this isn't...
No, I'm not turning him into Mark Madsen. Okay, maybe, yeah. I mean, probably just based on how they'll play, like, Lee will get more minutes and put up bigger numbers. That's fine.
Yeah, you tend to play the better players.
Damn it. I would be much more comfortable locking up Zeller long-term and having him around, and, like, if it was me, I would want to just give him a lot of minutes, and more so than David Lee. But, I mean, we'll see what Brad Stevens does, and we'll see what the Celtics kind of prioritize, because it's not even just them. Like, they have a bunch of big dudes.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I'd way rather have Zeller moving forward than I would Olynyk or Sullinger.
Yeah.
I just think he's a much better player than both those guys.
I agree as well. And that's why this is going to be weird, because they have all these guys. Like, they got Perry Jones even in the summer, and he's going to play four. And, like, with, like, Olynyk and Sullinger and Zeller and Lee and Amir Johnson. I might even be forgetting a couple of people. They just have so many guys.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the minute situation is going to be. And maybe it's sort of like the Henson thing. I mean,
what I was just going to say. Yeah.
Like, maybe it's wise for Zeller, if he gets a lot of money, to be like, well, I don't know what my stats are going to look like. Maybe I should just take it. But who knows? that's kind of where I stand. Yeah. Like, it doesn't seem like the most likely extension candidate, but I think there's probably a number that would get it done.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a smart move for both sides to kind of do that, but yeah, I think Zeller is kind of in that Henson zone where, like, a good year, you know, if David Lee gets hurt, a really good year could really catapult him into some serious money. Mm-hmm. But I also think like if the Celtics offered $450, you know, I think maybe that would be kind of dumb for him to pass up.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. Yeah, he's kind of in that weird, maybe he should go to restricted free agency zone. Next guy, Terrence Jones at 18.
I really like him.
I like him more than I did a couple years ago. Like, I've really not been a Terrence Jones guy, but he played really well last season.
P.S., you were right about David Lee, All-Star in 2013. Wow.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's 2 years ago.
I know.
With Jones, like, he's definitely a guy that should go into restricted free agency.
The Rockets just never overpay anyone.
Right.
So I could see them, like, I'd be surprised if they locked him up now unless he was willing to really take below market value.
Yeah, I mean, he'd really want to have to be part of this Rockets team, right, to take an extension.
Yeah. And maybe he does because it's a really good team, but also maybe he wants to go somewhere where, like, it'd be more focused on him. I don't know. Yeah.
And he could get a huge deal, and they would decide to match it. You know, like, I don't think that's out of the question either if he proves himself.
I think with the Rockets, anything is they can trade him.
They also have
the restricted free agency situation altogether.
Yeah, they have a bunch of flexibility too because they have Monty Ennis.
Yeah,
so exactly. you can play Ariza at some four. Like you know they've got flexibility with the way they play and the kind of the depth they have. Andrew Nicholson, probably don't want to give him an extension, right? Like, I like him. I think he could be a really nice four off the bench for you. But I don't think he's done enough where you're like, I have to lock that guy up.
No, I just don't see any way that happens. Yeah. I think he's capable of more than he's shown in the NBA so far.
I agree with that, yeah.
And I think, like, watching, like, every summer he plays for Canada and he's, like, stretching the floor and hitting threes and rebounding. It's like, why doesn't he play for Orlando? But, I mean, we'll see if Scott Skiles is a fan of the way he plays. I don't know that his defense is necessarily going to endear him to Skiles, but I do think if he does end up in the rotation, he could kind of show more than we've seen so far.
Also, Evan Fournier, who was the 20th pick, also for Orlando. He's still in Orlando, right?
Yeah.
They didn't trade. I keep thinking a bunch of these guys get traded. Fournier, he showed a lot last year, but not a guy you want to extend.
I don't think you need to if you're the Magic, like, unless.
Well, unless he's going to take like the 430 or you know, something reasonable like that,
which would very much surprise me.
Yeah, Sullinger for the Celtics.
You can't.
I'm not a fan. Like, I just don't think he's very good, and his health. You know, maybe he's lost a bunch of weight. I think there are talks
he's
that he's
lost a ton of weight.
Yeah,
this summer. Yeah.
But is that?
I don't know. I mean, part of the reason why he was able to be such a good rebounder was he was so big.
Yeah. And this idea that he's shooting, like, maybe he becomes a decent shooter at some point, but he's a terrible outside shooter.
Well, they've really invested, like, they've really just had him, like, just launch threes over and over again in the hopes that eventually that'll be part of his game.
In three seasons, granted, not three full seasons, but he's taken 397 threes and he's 27%.
Yeah.
Like, he's not a shooter. Yeah.
No, they don't respect him out there and they shouldn't.
Right.
But
good mid-range shooter.
Yeah. I mean, maybe eventually it pays off. Like, he didn't really do that before he came to Boston. And
I mean, you just look at that, you know, the five big guys we talked about with Boston. I think you definitely want Amir, you want Lee, you want Zeller, and you want Olynyk way more than you want Sullinger moving forward, right?
I agree.
Yeah. So yeah, no extension. Their other first round pick from that year, Fab Melo, not eligible.
Why not?
It turns out he's not in the NBA anymore.
Fabulous Mello.
John Jenkins was 23rd. I think Atlanta would be pretty desperate to extend him.
Not going to happen.
Jared Cunningham, not eligible. He was 24th. Tony Roten. Philly doesn't like to pay people anyway, so probably not going to get an extension.
Can't imagine that happening.
Miles Plumlee was 26th. He's on Milwaukee. Not going to get an extension, but he's an interesting guy that could kind of clean up in
reciprocation. And that's another guy that, I mean, we were talking about Henson in that front court. Like,
yeah.
There's just a lot of dudes that can get minutes there, and it's not like he can't play. We saw him starting in Phoenix and looking really good.
Yeah, I think he's solid. Like, he's athletic. He, you know, maybe he's a little older. I can't remember. I think he's like, what, 25 already?
That sounds right.
Yeah. Oh, he's 20. He's almost 27, actually.
Okay.
He turns 27 in September. So,
yeah.
You know, maybe a little on the older side, but he's a guy who could get himself a really nice contract in restricted free agency because so many teams will be spending.
Yeah. And because, I mean, he's a serviceable big guy and he can play both ends.
Yeah. Arnett Moultrie, not eligible. He was the 27th pick. Your boy. Perry Jones III, 28th pick.
I don't want to talk about it.
Probably not getting an extension.
No comment.
Marcus Teague was 29th. He is not eligible. You still have to be in the NBA to get a contract extension. Is he in the NBA?
I don't think so.
He was on the Nets?
He was. I don't think he is anymore. Okay. I could be wrong about that.
And then number 30, the reason I want to do the whole first round is because I think number 30 is interesting. Festus Ezeli.
Yeah.
He's a guy
I
who's
think that's very interesting.
Really improved.
Yeah.
He could get paid in restricted free agency.
And that's why I don't think he's getting an extension.
Yeah.
I think they know that. And
he would probably be someone that's like kind of crazy to take one.
Yeah, because, I mean, also, like, they're a Bogut injury away from him coming in and starting and him really making an impact and people seeing what he can do.
Yeah.
Because I think he made a huge leap last year.
Yeah, and I mean, he was out all of 2013-14 with,
yeah.
Was it a shoulder injury? I can't remember what he had.
Might have been a shoulder.
Yeah, it was some kind of big injury, though, that cost him the entire season. But last year, you know, per 36, he only played 11 minutes a game, but they didn't need him to play that much. But per 36, he was 14-11 with 3 blocks.
Yeah, and, like, he's... We saw some of the dunks he had in the playoffs. And
yeah,
the
like he can
shots.
Just attack the rim. He can control the paint. Like he's a guy that may, you know, he probably is that answer for them at center in the coming years.
Yeah, and for that reason, I just think he would be nuts to extend now. I think you have to, you just go in and if somebody like conceivably, I'm not saying it's necessarily going to happen because. Like, after all, we are talking about a guy who played 11 minutes a game.
Right.
But conceivably, if he has a good year next year, there's a team, maybe teams out there that say, like, we want to make you our starting center, and we want to pay you like one.
Yeah.
And if that happens, the Warriors are going to be in a position where...
Like, that dude...
They're juggling that and Barnes and...
That dude could get 490.
That's crazy, but, like, he could...
I mean, if you just think about it from like a relative standpoint, like remember when DeAndre Jordan got 444 from the Warriors in an offer sheet, and everyone was like, "What the hell just happened?"
Yeah,
I mean,
this is a prime candidate for what the hell just happened.
We could see a situation where like him getting a gigantic contract is not out of the question.
No, especially if he gets serious time next year,
and people will freak if he gets that.
Yeah. Oh, they'll absolutely lose it.
Yeah. And I think the Warriors would be crazy not to match it.
I think the Warriors... Yeah, the Warriors, there's no reason to want to let him go.
Right.
I think they... It especially hurts to lose a guy like that when you find him at the end of the first round.
Find him at the end of the first round and
develop him properly and surround him with the right guys and the right coaching.
Yeah, and as good as like Bogut has been for them, you know, you do need a backup plan.
Yeah,
moving forward for him, and that you know, Festus could be a really important player for them in the future.
Yeah, because I mean Bogut's great, obviously still great. There's no reason to think that he won't be great next year.
Yeah,
but this is a team that is looking to contend like for like the next decade, really.
I'm assuming that's their plan.
Yeah,
they probably don't have a plan to get bad in the next 2 years.
But I mean, what Ezeli's 25. I think
that sounds right. Yeah.
So, yeah, like if you're looking to keep this thing going, I think your best hope at center for the future.
He turns 26 right before the season starts.
Yeah. So I think that's your best hope is that he turns into a starter.
Yeah.
And if they're thinking that's going to happen, then they'll probably have to pay him like one. And starting centers are going to get a whole ton of money in the new salary cap. So.
Congratulations to Festus Ezeli and his family and his agent on the upcoming restricted free agency market.
Yes.
Congratulations to him. Well, James, I enjoyed this podcast, and I'm going to extend the podcasting contract of us.
Do you have the authority to do that?
No, I don't have any authority to do anything, but that's what I'm going to do.
Okay, great.
Luckily, no one from our work really listens to this podcast, so we can do whatever the hell we want.
Perfect.
Yeah. All right, James. Well, we can follow our stuff on cbssports.com/NBA. Follow you on Twitter @OutsideTheNBA. And I will talk to you later this week.
Enjoy your vanilla ice cream.